I want to talk to us this evening about this idea of always appropriate. Always appropriate. In Luke chapter 14, beginning of verse 1. Now it happened as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely, speaking of Jesus. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus, answering, spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" But they kept silent. And he took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered them, saying, "Which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into the pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not answer him regarding these things. So he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, "When you're invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man, and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Then he also said to him who invited him, "When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you'll be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just." When I read through this passage, I think about things that are appropriate. Obviously, the Pharisees there thought that many of the things Jesus did at the times that he did them were inappropriate or unlawful. For example, healing the man on the Sabbath. To them, that was a horrible sin. He was working. And it was wrong, inappropriate, unlawful to heal a man on the Sabbath, according to the Pharisees and scribes and those who criticized Jesus. You know, there are things in our life that are appropriate and things that are not appropriate. And there are things that are in some cases appropriate and in other circumstances inappropriate, such as humor. Cracking jokes at the Lord's table is not appropriate. Leaving a tip for a waitress at a restaurant is appropriate. Complimenting people who do good or who do a good job, that's appropriate. It's always encouraging to be complimented. Insulting your host or hostess or guest at a dinner, that is not appropriate. And we all understand that there are some things that are appropriate in situations and some things that are not appropriate. In Luke 14, verses 1 to 14 here, our Lord shows us three things that are always appropriate. In the first place, help is always appropriate. It is always appropriate to help somebody. Jesus was a guest at a dinner on the Sabbath day. He was being watched closely by the Pharisees, who were anxious to jump on a word or jump on an action and criticize and condemn him. A sick man was there, someone whom the text tells us had dropsy. And to the Pharisees, again, no work was acceptable on the Sabbath day. And so Jesus asked them a question: is it appropriate or is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And then he turned around and healed the man. And then Jesus pointed out that everyone there would give help to one of his animals on the Sabbath day. Which of you, having an ox falling in a ditch, will not pull it out on the Sabbath? And of course, the implication was, if they would help an animal on the Sabbath, why shouldn't he help an individual on the Sabbath who was sick? See, he was pointing out again their hypocrisy. Pointing out again the fact, as he did so many times, that they were not the kind of people that they said they were. They were hypocrites. That word literally means a play actor. And when we think of the word hypocrite, almost immediately the first thought that comes to mind is Pharisees. And when we think of the word Pharisees, the first thing we think of generally is the word hypocrite. And those two terms have become synonymous in many ways in our language because of how often the Lord condemned the Pharisees for being hypocrites. You ever heard the word, that's pharisaical? What does somebody mean when they say that? They mean it's hypocritical. They mean that someone is acting like someone they're really not. And so Jesus again was pointing out to them, you would go and help an ox out of a ditch on the Sabbath, but then here is a man who is sick with a terrible sickness, one that's very uncomfortable, one that's even painful at times. And it's all right for you to pull an ox out of the ditch, but not all right for me to heal this man of his sickness. What hypocrisy. Jesus had the opportunity, he had the means, he helped the sick man, didn't he? It is always appropriate to help others. Now, sometimes we have to get the timing right in certain situations. Sometimes we have to know what to do, and sometimes doing nothing at all is even more helpful than actually doing something. So we all judge the situation and the people who need the help, or whatever the case may be. We know how to use wisdom and judgment in that. But we must remember that helping those who need help is really, in a large sense, the very essence of who we are in Christ. Remember what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10? He said, therefore, we have been created in Christ Jesus for good works. And so we've been created for good works. This is our purpose. It's what we have been created for. In talking about Jesus in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, Paul said, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special or peculiar people. And then he adds, zealous for good works. And so we ought to be on fire for good works. We ought to be zealous for good works. As we all have opportunity, we ought to do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 10. On and on throughout the Bible. The Bible teaches us, the Lord in His Word emphasizes to us that we need to be zealous people, ready to help those who are in need. And by doing that, we are letting our light shine. Remember we spoke last week, I believe, about where John had said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Well, the Lord says here, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and what's the result? And glorify your Father in heaven. We can actually lead people to the Lord by being good, helpful people. Remember what the Lord taught there in Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31 and going through the end of the chapter, really. I'm not trying to go backwards there. I just left the number out. But the Lord draws the picture there for us of the great judgment scene where he returns with his angels and separates the sheep from the goat. Those on the right hand go into eternal life, while those on the left hand go into everlasting punishment. And then as you read the context there, you find that those on the right hand, they were the ones who saw the naked and clothed them. They saw the sick and helped them, visited them. They saw the hungry and fed them. You see, we help people as we have opportunity and means. Matter of fact, the more opportunity and means that we have, the more responsibility we have. Paul told Timothy to command those who are rich in this present age. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Verse 18, 1 Timothy 6. Let them do good that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. It says, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. You see, those who are rich, Paul is saying here, because of their wealth, they have a greater opportunity to help those in need. And because of a greater opportunity, they therefore have a greater responsibility. God calls on us to go out and make an effort and to teach the gospel to people. I don't believe that God has called on us to go out and form some kind of organization to go out and seek those who are hungry and find those who are in need and do all we can to help those. I'm not going that route. I don't believe that's what we're called to. I believe our primary call is to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to save their souls. But when the opportunity comes along and we have the means, God calls us then to help and to be helpful people and to be those who have good works. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was asked the question, who is my neighbor? Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan. Remember that you had the two there, the two religious people who come by and saw the man beaten on the side. They saw him there, just walked right on by. The Good Samaritan came along. Now listen, in the story, you think the Good Samaritan, when he sat out on that trail, sat out thinking, I'm going to go find me a man beaten up on the side of the road and help him. Now the point of Jesus' story was, your neighbor is the one whom you have opportunity and means to help. That's his point. The Good Samaritan happened upon this man in the ditch, and he helped him. Oh, we're to be helpful people. Don't turn a blind eye to your brother when he's hurting financially, or when they're hurting through bereavement or through sickness. If you're able to help, to do something, to encourage, to give, do what you can. Well, it's not much. Don't worry about it. If you can't do much, that's a whole lot, whatever you do. It is always appropriate to help. But I believe we learn from this story not only that it's always appropriate to help, but something else that's always appropriate, and that's to be humble. Humility is always important. Here in verses 7 to 11 again, Jesus told that parable about being invited to the wedding feast. Has this ever happened to you? I got to tell you, this has happened to me before. It was an accident, but it's happened to me. I have gone to weddings before, not wedding feasts as we talk about here, but I've gone to weddings before, and I've sat down up there in that place that's supposed to be reserved for the family. Not on the very front, but sometimes several rows are reserved. I've done that before. You know how embarrassing it is when they come up and ask you, you got to move? Here you got to stand up and go. It's humiliating. Maybe some of you have done something like that before. That's what we're talking about here. When you're invited to a wedding feast, don't just march right in with your chest out and go right up to the best seat and sit down and look all pompous. That's the Pharisees. Because when that fella comes up there and says, excuse me, sir, you have to sit back there, you're going to be humiliated. But the Lord said, why not, when you go into the wedding feast, find the lowest place, find the worst seat in the house, and sit down there. And then if you're a specially invited guest, your host will come up to you and say, well, why are you sitting here? You're supposed to sit up here in the good seats. And then you get a good feeling when you stand up in front of everyone and they see you walking up to the good seat. That's the point of the story here. You see, the man who walked right in with his chest out and up to the front pew, he was proud and puffed up, self-important. Why, surely they expect me to sit on the front row. But then the other fella, he may have been the most important person there. But when he walked in, he was humble already. Well, I don't want to get in the way. Others are better than me. They want the good seat. I'll just sit back here in the corner. But he was exalted, wouldn't he, in the end? You know, it's so much better to have other people to talk good about you than for you to talk good about yourself. It means so much more. Because if someone is telling me something wonderful about what this man over here did, my respect for this man over here skyrockets. But when this man over here comes over to me and starts gushing out what he did, my respect for him diminishes. You understand that point, don't you? You know people who are like that. They're great conversationalists just as long as you keep the conversation focused upon them and what they have done and what they do and what they're capable of. Let others talk about you. Don't talk about yourself. Be humble, and you'll be exalted. Instead of seeking places of prominence, we are to seek humble places. To let others exalt us and not exalt ourselves. I remember what Paul wrote there in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, really. When he said, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. You know, it's good to have the reputation when somebody goes behind your back and says, you know, he's always got something good to say about somebody. That's a good reputation to have. Because you have convinced yourself in your mind's eye that your brother is better than you. And far as you're concerned, you love your brother. You love your sister. And you want people to know what they have done rather than what you have done. And ironically, if you do that, the things you have done will be illuminated. People will know about them. You will be exalted, as the Lord taught. Over in the book of Romans, chapter 12 and verse 10, Paul had some more to say here about others. And he said, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Giving preference to one another. Viewing others as being better than yourself. Over in 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 5 and going through verse 7. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I know a fellow back in West Tennessee. And he is so sneaky about doing good works. You'll never hear him say a thing about it. Matter of fact, he's almost embarrassed if you ever bring it up to him. I saw you. There was a friend there. He had preached at a church there, and he was getting ready to leave. And he had been going to school as well, and he was graduating college. And this friend I was talking about, he went to the graduation. And then weeks later, this preacher friend who had graduated happened to be looking at some pictures, and there was a picture of this brother there. And he said, I didn't even know he was there. But he was there. And I used to catch him doing good works all the time. I'd run into him everywhere doing something for somebody. He was a busy man. He was a family man. He'd got a job. But you wouldn't hear it from him. And I tell you what, I have so much respect for him. That's humility. That's being humble. Helping is always appropriate. Humility is always appropriate. And then finally, very quickly this evening, number 3, hospitality is always appropriate. In verses 12 to 14 of our story, in Luke 14, and he also said to him who invited him, when you give a dinner or supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and be repaid. Now, we have to understand the antithetical type of teaching that Jesus did. He did this all through the Sermon on the Mount. In other words, it's very similar to what John said over in 1 John chapter 3. In verse 18, when he said, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and truth. Now, John's not saying that we shouldn't tell one another we love one another. That's not John's point. John's point is don't just say it. Back it up with actions. The Lord's point here, the Lord is not condemning inviting your friends, brothers, neighbors, and so forth over to dinner, or I think we'd all be condemned. He's not saying don't do that. What he's really teaching is don't do that for the very purpose of getting invited back. In other words, Jesus is striking at motive here. And if you'll humble yourselves to invite those who maybe are your enemies, those who are not so close, those who can't do for yourself, invite them over some. And you'll learn the lesson, the true lesson of hospitality. Because you know these people can never have you over. Hospitality is always appropriate. When we show hospitality, we're not to do it so that others will pay us back. We're to show hospitality so that we are a blessing to those who can really use it. In Romans chapter 12, again in verse 13, and Paul, Romans chapter 12, that entire chapter is just a good chapter to read on a regular basis for Christians. So much there about Christian life and characteristics and behavior. And in verse 13, he said, distributing to the needs of the saints, and then he says, given to hospitality. There's a footnote in my Bible that says, pursuing hospitality. You're on hot pursuit of hospitality. Open your house up to folks. You know, I think people have sometimes the Martha Stewart syndrome. It's what I've called it in times past. And they don't ever have anybody in their home because this is a mess and that's a mess. I'll get it cleaned up and then I'll show hospitality. The only problem is it never really gets cleaned up, at least not to their satisfaction. And so they never have anyone in their home. And that is utterly ridiculous. You know, my philosophy has always been, this is my house, this is where I live. It's not always going to be perfectly clean, like Kenny's. But you know what? I don't care. If you have me in your house, I really don't mind walking over a pair of dirty socks. That don't bother me a bit. And I suspect if you came to my house and there was a pair of dirty socks by my easy chair, it wouldn't bother you either, would it? I mean, you want to show some consideration and tidy up some. I understand that. You have to have some decency, but don't have the Martha Stewart syndrome. Don't think everything has to be just perfect before you can have anybody in your home. Otherwise, no one would ever come. You know, hospitality is a requirement for those who would be elders. Those who would serve as elders. Hospitality is so important to God that if people are going to qualify to serve as an elder in the Lord's church, they must be someone who is, as Paul said here in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 2, who is given to hospitality. Hospitable, it says. Over in 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse 9, Peter says this, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Don't grumble when you're hospitable. So things don't go right. Maybe you burnt the main course an hour before your guests are supposed to show up. So what? That's not a comfortable feeling, I realize that, but there are other things to do. Your guests will understand. Run down to KFC. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2. The Hebrew writer said, Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some have unwittingly entertained angels. And again, John 13:34-35, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Manifesting that love through hospitality. Now, there's several verses there we have on hospitality. It must be pretty important. God had a lot to say about it. Let's be hospitable. It draws us closer together as a spiritual family. It helps us to really get involved in one another's lives and to get to know one another better when we've been in one another's homes from time to time. It's so important and so essential in the lives of Christians to be together in that way and to grow close together in that way. It is always appropriate to be hospitable. Luke chapter 14 is a wonderful passage. It's another one of those miracle passages. We looked at one this morning and talked about it. John chapter 6, the feeding of the 5,000. And this evening we read about how the Lord has healed a man of dropsy on the Sabbath. And through so doing, he has taught us about some things that are always appropriate. It's always appropriate to help, and God expects it of us. It's always appropriate to have humility. God expects it of it. And it's always appropriate to show hospitality. God expects it of us. Let's pray.